Disobedience is so subversive of the groundwork of masonry, in which obedience is so strongly inculcated that the mason who disobeys subjects himself to severe penalties, unquote. Ibid. Quote, a Grand Lodge is invested with power and authority over all the craft within its jurisdiction. It is the Supreme Court of Appeals in all Masonic cases, and to its decrees, unlimited obedience must be paid by every lodge and every mason situated within its control. The government of Grand Lodges is, therefore, completely despotic. While a Grand Lodge exists, its edicts must be respected and obeyed without examination by its subordinate lodges, unquote. That's from Mackey, Lexicon of Freemasonry, page 183. Quote, for ourselves, we deny as Masons that any civil government on earth has the right to divide or curtail Masonic jurisdiction when once established. It can only be done by competent Masonic authority and in accordance with Masonic usage, unquote, from the Grand Lodge report. Quote, a due summons from the Lodge or Grand Lodge is obligatory upon him, and should he refuse obedience, he will be disgracefully expelled from the society with public marks of ignominy that can never be erased, unquote. That's from the Morris Dictionary of Freemasonry, page number 29. Quote, disobedience and want of respect to Masonic superiors is an offense for which the transgressor subjects himself to punishment, unquote. That's from Mackey, Masonic Jurisprudence, page 511. Quote, hence we find that the master's authority in the lodge is as despotic as the sun in the firmament, which was placed there by the Creator, never to deviate from its accustomed course till the declaration is promulgated that time shall be no more, unquote. That's from Oliver's Signs and Symbols of Freemasonry, page 142. Quote, treason and rebellion also, because they are altogether political offenses, cannot be inquired into by a lodge, and although a Mason may be convicted of either of these acts in the courts of his country, he cannot be Masonically punished, and notwithstanding his treason or rebellion, his relation to the lodge, to use the language of the old charges, remains indefeasible, unquote. That's from Mackey's Masonic Jurisprudence, page 510. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to pay close attention. Quote, treason and rebellion also, because they are altogether political offenses, cannot be inquired into by a lodge. And although a Mason may be convicted of either of these acts in the courts of his country, he cannot be Masonically punished. And notwithstanding his treason or rebellion, his relation to the lodge, to use the language of the old charges, remains indefeasible. Unquote. That's from Mackey, Masonic Jurisprudence, page 510. Quote, there is no duty more forcibly enjoined in Masonry than that of warning a brother of danger impending to his person or interests. To neglect this is a positive violation of obligation and destroys any person's claim to be entitled a Mason. Unquote. That's from Morris's Dictionary of Freemasonry, page 325. Quote, the powers and privileges of the master of a lodge are by no means limited in extent, unquote. That's from Chase's Digest of Masonic Law, page 380. Quote, as a presiding officer, the master is possessed of extraordinary powers which belong to the presiding officer of no other association, unquote. That's from Mackey, Masonic Jurisprudence, page 344. Quote, the system of Masonic law has little of the Republican or Democratic spirit about it, unquote. That's from Morris, Webb's Freemasons Monitor, revised edition, page 195. Quote, once a Mason, always a Mason. Once a Mason, everywhere a Mason. However independent, either as individuals or as lodges, whether grand or subordinate, and we are each and all truly free and uncontrolled by anything save our ancient laws and constitution. Yet no Mason can be a foreigner to another Mason. We are all equal citizens of one common government, having equal rights, equal privileges, and equal duties, and in which government, thank God, the majority, does not govern. For our order, in its very constitution, strikes at the root of that which is the very basis of popular government. It proclaims and practices not that the will of the masses is wise and good, and is such to be obeyed, not that the majority shall govern, but that the law, in effect, above mentioned ancient law, shall govern. Our tenet is not only that no single man, but that no body of men, however wise or numerous, can change in any degree one single landmark of our ancient institution. Our law is strictly organic. It cannot be changed without being destroyed. You may take a man to pieces, and you may take a watch to pieces, but you cannot alter his organs and put him together again, as you do the timekeeper. Masonry is the living man, and all other forms of government mere convenient machines made by clever mechanics for regulating the affairs of state. Not only do we know no north, no south, no east, and no west, but we know no government save our own. To every government save that of Masonry, and to each and all alike, we are foreigners. And this same Masonic author says, quote, "The first duty of the reader of this synopsis is to obey the edicts of his Grand Lodge. Right or wrong, his very existence as a Mason hangs upon obedience to the power immediately set above him. Failure in this must infallibly bring down expulsion, which as a Masonic death ends all. The one unpardonable crime in a Mason is contumacy or disobedience," unquote. In a word, as we are informed, Mr. Bates is a Freemason. Now we know that everyone who enters the lodge swears, quote, "to support the constitution of the Grand Lodge of the state and to conform to the laws of any lodge of which he shall be a member, and also to obey all regular signs, summons, or tokens from any Mason or body of Masons." Now, whatever he may be told before taking this oath, after he does so, he is taught that the authority of the lodge is absolute, the covenant is irrevocable, and its obligations are supreme. In General Ahiman Rizan, or the Freemason's Guide, we read, quote, "The candidate entering the lodge is on the point of binding himself voluntarily, absolutely, and without reservation forever." Webb's Monitor says, "The covenant is irrevocable. Even though a Mason may be suspended or expelled, though he may withdraw from the lodge, journey into countries where Masons cannot be found, or become a subject of despotic governments that persecute, a communicant of bigoted churches that denounce Masonry, he cannot cast off or nullify his Masonic covenant. No law of the land can affect it. No anathema of the church can weaken it. It is irrevocable," unquote. Again,